What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, how's your bracket doing after the Final Four? Shockingly, mine is still intact. My champion, who I picked to win it all, is still here, Houston. Auburn lost, so that's the other half of my championship there. But hey, I'm pretty stoked I still have my champion still be in it, because you know, when you're picking your brackets, it's just like boom, boom, boom. You think things are gonna go right, but usually you're done by week one. But I still have Houston in it. So let's talk about the Final Four, because we had some really good games, especially the one between Houston and Duke. But let's start with Florida versus Auburn. This one was close for a good chunk of it, but you could just tell Florida, they had this game pretty much on lock. It was pretty much their game to be had. Auburn had a couple of chances to take things over just a bit, but every time it felt like the tide would turn their way, Florida would just bring the momentum back, and Florida just ended up getting the win 79-73, and they are moving on to the national championship. Then the game between Houston and Duke. That was such a crazy game. It was all Duke all night until the last 2 minutes of this game. I mean, I was so bored for the majority of this game. I was like, Houston is, they were playing like shit. Duke was dominating offensively, defensively. They're getting the rebounds. They're getting the points. They're getting to the line. Everything is going Duke's way until the final 2 minutes. And they are up 9 points, I believe. It was either 9 or 10 points that Duke is up. And so it's looking like, boom, this is going to be good night. Duke is heading off to play Florida for the national championship. And no, all of a sudden, Houston, I don't know what happened, because Houston was playing flat all night. I kid you not, this game was so boring up until these last 2 minutes. And then all of a sudden, Houston started knocking down the shots. And Duke could not knock down a shot. They were missing free throws. They were missing wide open shots. And then Houston clamped down the defense. They clamped it down on Cooper Flagg. They made sure their best player on the court had no way to make a shot. He wasn't open. He wasn't able to really make any type of plays. But it was just the craziest sequence of events, because Duke absolutely should have won this game. And Houston ended up winning the game 70-67. And like I said, it was all Duke all night until the last 2 minutes of the game. And then Houston just turned it on. They were within reach and they just kept pushing along. They kept making the shots. They kept getting the rebounds. They kept playing the defense. Like I said, their defense, they really, really clamped it down. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the national championship tonight. Like I said, that is tonight. Florida versus Houston right now. Florida is a 1.5-point favorite. I feel like that they should be, especially with the way Houston played in the last game. Honestly, they have no business being here. But with that being said, that's usually kind of a wake-up call game. In Florida, they've been one of the best teams in college basketball all season. They are great defensively. They are great offensively. They've got five dudes who are just solid starters. And then their bench, they've got great guys on their bench. But I just, you know, I picked Houston to start it all. So I got to ride with Houston. Like I said, with Houston, I just feel it's their time. And I feel like this game against Duke was a wake-up call for them. They almost lost it, but they were able to take it back, get the momentum back, and head into this national championship game with a full head of steam. I mean, God, I can't remember which game it was a couple weeks ago during the tournament. They also got pushed to the brink, and then they were able to get the win, and then they would just go on this nice little run here all the way to the championship. And I just kind of feel like that's going to be what goes into play here, is they played a good 2 minutes to end this game, beat a really good Duke team, did something that nobody thought was going to happen. And Florida, they're riding high on a whole bunch of wins. But I do think these teams match up very well against each other. They're both great defensively. They play well on the offensive side of the ball also. Very well coached. But like I said, I'm going with Houston because that's who I picked at the beginning. But I will not be shocked if Florida ends up taking the national championship tonight. Moving on to the top 10 NBA power rankings, and this is it. This is the final week of the regular season. Next week, we will be talking the play-in games, and then we will be talking the playoffs. So This is it. As a matter of fact, the Eastern Conference top six teams, the playoffs, they are set. It's just a matter of where everybody's going to be aligned when the seeding comes into play. But the Eastern Conference is set. The Western Conference is still a motherfucking mess. So let's get into the top 10 NBA power rankings for this week, beginning with the team that remains number one, the Oklahoma City Thunder. Overall record of 64-14. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Detroit Pistons, but lost to the Houston Rockets and got their asses beat by my Los Angeles Lakers yesterday. Doesn't matter, though. They're still the Thunder, still the best team in the league, and we'll see what happens come playoff time. They've just been waiting for the playoffs to start basically for the last month. Then at number two remains the Cleveland Cavaliers, 62-16 on the season, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the New York Knicks, the San Antonio Spurs, and lost to the Sacramento Kings. They're in the same boat that the Oklahoma City Thunder are in. They've just been waiting for the playoffs to begin for the last month, and that's about it. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings remains the Boston Celtics, overall record of 58-20. They're 9-1 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Miami Heat, but got wins over the Phoenix Suns and the Washington Wizards. And yet again, this is another team that's just been waiting for the playoffs to start for about the last month. Then at number four on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Los Angeles Lakers, overall record of 48-30. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Golden State Warriors, but got wins over the New Orleans Pelicans and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And like I was talking about, this big three between Luka, LeBron, and Austin Reeves is just getting stronger and stronger. And I'm loving what I'm seeing come playoff time. This team is going to be a force to reckon with if they keep this shit up. I mean, damn, they are blowing people out of the water and just clicking on all cylinders. And they just, the three of them really just match up so well together. You got Luka, who's basically the star of the team now. He's the go-to guy. He's the guy who's going to make all the shots. If he's open, you get him the ball. Then you got LeBron. That used to be LeBron. So we all know LeBron can play that superstar role if he needs to. And how great is that to have LeBron as your number two superstar? And it's kind of like people forget about him, and then all of a sudden there he is for the game-winning layup at the end of the game to catch the rebound because nobody's blocking him out. Or he's just there and at the open end of the, at the other end of the court, and Luka's just bombing it down the court to him. And it's not just Luka. I mean, that's actually been going on the last couple of seasons, really, with LeBron. It's kind of his go-to play these days. And then, of course, on the defensive side of the ball, he plays fantastic as well. So it's just kind of like, if Luka's down, LeBron is right there to pick him back up. Or if, you know, they're double-teaming Luka, well, there's LeBron right there. But then you've got Austin Reeves. And Austin Reeves, when he's on, he is on. Now, he kind of pisses me off with just chucking up the three sometimes. He just does not like to let the play play out at certain points in time. He just likes to chuck up the three a lot of the times. But he is money when he is on. And he is a high scorer. He plays great defensively. And he's also very, very scrappy in the paint as well. So I think that's going to come into play come playoff time, but I really like what I see from these three guys together. And then the role players, they're playing their roles and playing very well. And you better look out for these Lakers because these three, keep it moving. This is going to be a difficult team for anybody to beat. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Houston Rockets, overall record of 52-27. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Utah Jazz, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Golden State Warriors. They are back on it. You know, they started off the season as one of the hottest teams. Then the second half of the season hit. They took like they took 2 months off, like a hiatus. And then basically they came storming back. They have made the playoffs and they're playing very well offensively, defensively. It's just, I don't believe in this team and I can't believe in this team until they prove it. But still, they are playing well, and so I got to rank them in my top 10. But as far as the playoffs go, I will not be shocked if this team is one and done. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Minnesota Timberwolves, overall record of 46-32. They are currently on a 5-game winning streak and are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Denver Nuggets, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Philadelphia 76ers. And this is one of the hottest teams heading into the playoffs. If they keep this up heading into the playoffs, this is another team you're not going to want to go up against. And they are starting to form a big three of their own as well with Anthony Edwards. He's been going off all season long, and he's been having no issues. Gobert is back on it, playing great defensively right there in the paint. But then you also have Julius Randle as well. He's also another great defensive player, but also can get you some points as well. So they're starting to get this nice little solid big three going themselves. And they've been playing really great basketball probably the last month-ish, maybe 3-4 weeks. But this is a time of the year when you want to be playing your best basketball. And right now, they are heating up. They are on the upside of things. And we'll see where they end up at the end of this week. Then at number 7 on my top 10 NBA power rankings at the Denver Nuggets, overall record of 47-32. They are 3-7 in their last 10 games, and they are on a terrible losing streak this week. They lost to the Timberwolves, the San Antonio Spurs, the Golden State Warriors, and the Indiana Pacers. Just not a good week for them at all, even though they got Jokic back, but still, they just are down. And that's honestly been kind of the theme of the Nuggets season. They've just been up. They've been down. They have their good moments. They have their bad moments. I still believe in them once the playoffs roll around because obviously they have a stacked-ass roster. They are only a couple seasons removed from winning a championship, so they definitely have that championship pedigree. But right now they're slumping really bad, and they really want to pick it up this week headed into the playoffs. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the New York Knicks, overall record of 50-28. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Philadelphia 76ers, lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers, beat the Atlanta Hawks, and beat the Phoenix Suns. Jalen Brunson did come back last night against the Phoenix Suns and did not look bad at all. He, of course, was on a minutes restriction, as he should be. I would assume that's probably going to be the case for the majority of this week. But he is back. You definitely wanted him back to play. I think it's great that he's going to at least be playing this week before the playoffs because they did clinch a playoff spot, so they are in it. Currently, they're the number 3 overall seed, so that's a pretty solid spot too right there behind the Cavaliers and the Celtics. But you definitely are going to need Brunson for any type of playoff run. You're going to need Brunson to even pretend like you're going to have a chance against Cleveland and Boston. But you need everybody. Especially Brunson, if you think you're going to get out of this first round even, because the Knicks are notorious for choking, but you definitely need Brunson. And when you got Brunson in, the guy is, he's money. The Knicks look like money, but if they don't have Brunson, it's going to be a problem. So getting him back to play at least the week before the playoffs to get him warmed up and just get him back from this this injury that he's been nursing over the last, what, like month and a half? So he's got a good solid week left to get ready for the playoffs. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Indiana Pacers, overall record of 47-31. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Charlotte Hornets, the Utah Jazz, and the Denver Nuggets. They also clinched the playoff spot, so they are ready to go. This is another team that's been really hot the last month of basketball. They've really turned it on. Their superstars are getting it going. Their role players are getting it going. I don't know how competitive they're going to be once the playoffs get rolling around. I mean, the Eastern Conference is basically Cleveland and Boston, and everybody else is a crapshoot at this point. And that's just how it is with the Pacers as well. Until they actually prove something, we can't believe in them just yet. But they are playing great right now, and that this is the best time of the year to be playing your best basketball. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings this week, I have the Detroit Pistons, overall record of 43-35. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, got a win over the Toronto Raptors, and lost to the Memphis Grizzlies. They also clinched a playoff spot this week. So not only did they go from the worst team in the league last year to now a playoff spot, not even just like they weren't even hanging on, they weren't clinging on, they weren't a play-in team. They straight up clinched a playoff spot. They've been one of the best teams in the league. As a matter of fact, the Pistons, I actually look at them as more of a threat in the playoffs than I do the Knicks and the Pacers right now. simply because the Pistons have been way more consistent. Their superstar, Cade Cunningham, he's been consistent. Their role players have been consistent. They got a lot of young guys. They've got a few veterans on the team that are able to make some big plays for them. I really like what I'm seeing from the Detroit Pistons. A lot more consistency than a lot of the other teams in the NBA. So I kind of look at the Pistons as a team that could potentially make some noise in the playoffs. And, you know, they've already clinched a playoff spot and they've completely turned this team around from where they've been over the last, many years. The Pistons have been in the dredges, the bottom of the league. And now here they are clinching a playoff spot and headed to the playoffs no matter what happens the rest of this week. All right, now we have our first complete week of baseball in the books, and that means now we're going to start doing my top 10 MLB power rankings. And, you know, obviously this first one, you're going to hear some teams that we're probably not going to be hearing a lot about all season long. And then, of course, we've got the usual suspects who I expect we're going to be hearing about all season long. But there are some guys who are picking up right where they left off last year. Lots of offense on tap. So let's get right into it with number one on my top 10 MLB power rankings, starting the season off, the stupid-ass Dodgers, 9-2 on the season. Now, it is quite funny because they are not number one in the division right now. I don't expect this to last, but they're not. They're actually in second place currently. But even so, they're obviously the best team in baseball. So like I said, 9-2 on the regular season right now. This past week, they took the series over the Atlanta Braves, but lost to the Philadelphia Phillies. But the thing about the Dodgers is they have so many great players at each and every position. And now, just dude coming out of nowhere, Tommy Edman, he leads the team in home runs with 5 home runs. So it's just like, oh, you got Ohtani. He's not leading the team with home runs yet. Having a phenomenal year to start, though. Then you've also got Freddie Freeman. And yeah, he's on the injured list right now, but he's yet another just crazy offensive force. And of course, you got Mookie Betts, one of the best players in the league. And then now, even your role players, you still have Teoscar Hernandez hitting balls out of the park. I mean, he leads the team in RBIs as well. I mean, and then don't even get me started on the pitching. The pitching's fantastic as well. It's just stupid-ass Dodgers. But ha-ha for this week, you are not in first place, but you are number one on my top 10 MLB power rankings. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Philadelphia Phillies. Overall record of 7-2. This past week, they took the series over the Colorado Rockies and the Los Angeles Dodgers. As I said, to start the season, the Phillies are going to be able to compete with the Dodgers. When it comes to talent and roster, the Phillies are damn good, damn talented, and they have just as many superstars as the Dodgers. It's just that the Dodgers just won the World Series. So, of course, we're going to be talking about them. But, I mean, the Phillies, they kicked the shit out of the Dodgers this weekend. That's just straight up. That's what they did. And they are looking good right now. Kyle Schwarber starting the season off as a monster, batting .265. Now, let me tell you, Schwarber is not known for his batting average. He's known for his home runs and his RBI. But right now, batting a .265, those are great numbers for Schwarber, with 4 home runs and 8 RBI. So the dude, he's raking it in. And then at the pitching position, right now, shockingly, the leader of the pack with the pitchers right now is Jesus Luzardo. He's got 2 wins on the season with a 1.50 ERA and 19 strikeouts. He's actually the lead guy right now out of the starting pitchers for the Phillies. Now, that doesn't mean the rest of their guys are garbage. I'm just saying this guy's come right out the gate and just pitched fantastic in his first couple of starts to start the season. And these aren't the only guys playing well for the Phillies. I mean, overall right now, every guy who is supposed to be playing well or playing at a high level currently is, at least in the first week of the season. Then at number 3 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Yankees, overall record of 6-3. This past week, they lost the series to the Arizona Diamondbacks, but won the series over the Pittsburgh Pirates. And Aaron Judge has taken over right where he has left off, as he normally does. The dude has been hitting home runs since his rookie season. We're always going to be talking about him, it feels like, every single season at the top of the home run list, at the top of the RBI list, but still, even the triple crown, yes, it's only week 1, I shouldn't be talking about triple crown, but You know it's going to come into play for this dude because he's just a fantastic hitter. But right now, batting a 324 with 6 home runs and 17 RBI. By the way, the 6 home runs, 17 RBI lead the league in those statistical categories at this current point in time. And that's just where Aaron Judge lies, always at the top of those categories every single year. I feel like every year that I've done this podcast, he is number one in home runs and RBI every single year. It is just crazy how consistent he is. And it's not just him, too. I mean, the Yankees offensively are playing great. Goldschmidt's fitting right in. Jazz is having a good year so far. Volpe is taking off. Pitching is kind of shaky, but their offense has really been able to take over. And they've really just been a huge bright spot. But Aaron Judge is just doing Aaron Judge things as usual. Then at number 4 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the team that leads the National League West right now, the San Francisco Giants, 8-1 on the season. This past weekend, this past week, they swept the Astros and then swept the Seattle Mariners. It is just fantastic to see the Giants start the season off like this. I don't know how long it's going to last because I still think they have a lot of holes to fill on this team, but they've looked pretty good this first week of baseball. Wilmer Flores, he's come in hot. He's got 4 home runs and 12 RBI, but he's also had a couple of games already where he's hit the game-winning run at the end of the game, so that's just great. And then also a hidden gem we picked up in the offseason at the starting pitcher position, Robbie Ray. He's got 2 wins on the season with a 3.18 ERA, and he really has come right out the gate in these first two games he's pitched, and he just looks really solid right now. Like I said, I don't know how long this is going to last with the Giants. I'm not really expecting it to, but great to see them not only 8-1, but they're doing better than the Dodgers, at least for now. Looking pretty good, looking pretty solid, and got some good quality wins there over the first week of baseball. Then at number 5 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the San Diego Padres, overall record of 8-2. This past week, they took the series over the Cleveland Guardians, but lost the series to the Chicago Cubs. But Jackson Merrill is definitely paying off. He got that big contract extension last week, right when the season started, and he is leading this team in every statistical category for hitting. He is batting at 378 with 3 home runs and 10 RBI, so he's coming in clutch. Tatis is having a monster year to start as well, batting at 368 with a home run and 6 RBI. Their pitching is phenomenal right now, and the Padres, they've really started off the season really hot. We'll see if it sticks with them as well. But the National League West looking like a fire division to start the season. Then at number 6 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Texas Rangers, overall record of 8-2. This past week, they beat the Cincinnati Reds and took the series over the Tampa Bay Rays. They have a young guy, Wyatt Langford. He has been hot to start his season. He's batting .235 with 3 home runs and 5 RBI. And Nathan Eovaldi, you know, he kind of dipped off last season compared to the previous 2 seasons ago where he was just money. He's back to being money this year. He's got, I believe, 19 strikeouts. I didn't write down how many strikeouts he's got, but I know he's leading the team, and I think it was 19. But the guy is, he's starting the season off right as he needs to, because, you know, the Rangers won the World Series a couple years ago when he was having his career year. So I kind of feel like he needs to have another solid year for the Rangers to continue to be successful as the season progresses on. Then at number 7 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the New York Mets, overall record of 6-3. This past week, they took the series over the Miami Marlins and also took the series over the Toronto Blue Jays. And you would think that Juan Soto's the guy, you know, he just got a $700 million contract over the offseason. So you would think this is the guy who would be leading the team and all of the hits and making all the big moves. No, it is not. It is actually the guy they, you know, he's actually been very consistent, a very consistent Met, and hit the free agency market in the offseason and kind of had a difficult time really finding anybody besides the Mets to really be interested in him. And I think that kind of pissed him off and lit a fire under his ass, as it should and as it normally does, because he only got a 1-year deal with the Mets. So he's going to be a free agent again. But that's Pete Alonso. The guy has been one of the most consistent players for the Mets for a few seasons now. And right now he's batting at 290 with 3 home runs and 11 RBI. Not to say that Juan Soto's having a terrible year. He's batting 250 with a home run and 3 RBI. Starting the season off kind of cold, but I expect him to get right back into it. But it's just funny to see that, you know, Alonso's been here. He's actually been the dude for the Mets, and they kind of slighted him in the offseason. They still signed him, but I think they were kind of overlooking him. I think about a few other teams were overlooking him as well. And he's been the saving grace so far for this New York Mets team. They do have Trevor McGill, though, at the starting pitcher position. He started off the season really solid in his first couple of starts as well. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Detroit Tigers, overall record of 5-4. This past week, they took the series over the Seattle Mariners and swept the Chicago White Sox. You know, they've got Jack Flaherty at the starting pitcher position, who they signed in the offseason. He started off his first couple of starts really solid. But I'm really looking at Spencer Torkelson. He's been a dude. If you're a baseball fan, you've heard about this guy over the last couple of seasons, especially if you're into fantasy baseball like I am. He's just been a guy who's supposed to get some numbers, and he's just been really disappointing over the last couple of seasons. And now I think he's finally starting to hit his stride, finally starting to become the guy that they were all expecting him to be coming up in the minor leagues. Because right now he's batting a 324 with 2 home runs and 6 RBI, so he's really starting to become a consistent offensive force that the Detroit Tigers need. But right now, Tigers are playing very solid baseball. And like I said, they're in a very weak division, so I expect them to dominate this division all season. Then number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Boston Red Sox, overall record of 6-4. This past week, they took the series over the Baltimore Orioles and the St. Louis Cardinals, and they are getting a lot of offense. Their starting pitching is solid as well. Garrett Crochet, he signed his extension last week, and now he's come right out in his first couple of starts and just pitched money. But you also have Willier Abreu. Didn't think that was a name we were going to be hearing about, but right now he's batting a 483 with 3 home runs and 12 RBI. He's driving in the runs for them right now. But also their rookie, Christian Campbell, he just was brought up from the minor leagues this offseason. We were hearing about him a lot as a potential guy who could make the roster, and now he made the roster. But he's also been really, really consistent since he started as well. Just the first week, of course, but playing really solid, batting a 364 with 2 home runs and 5 RBI. And the Red Sox look like they're back, just as I expected. And then rounding out the top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the Chicago Cubs. Overall record of 7-5. This past week, they took the series over the Oakland A's. Sacramento A's, even though nobody's calling, for some reason, they're not calling them the Sacramento A's, but I'm going to be calling them the Sacramento A's because I can't just call them the A's. It's just, that doesn't sound right for some reason. And the Oakland thing, I'm sure that's going to be a slippage many, many times over the years. It just happens. But not only did they take the series over the A's, but they also took the series over the San Diego Padres. And Kyle Tucker has fit right in as a Chicago Cub. I knew this was a stupid move by the Houston Astros. I do not know why they traded away Kyle Tucker. I totally thought they were going to invest in Tucker, and they ended up trading him away in the offseason. I'm like, what is wrong with you? This guy is obviously going to be one of the next great players we see in the league, and right now he's batting a 319 with 5 home runs and 15 RBI, and that 15 RBI is only behind Aaron Judge right now. The two best hitters in the league at this current point in time, I mean, just week one of the season, are Aaron Judge and Kyle Tucker. These two are on a tear, and that's why I'm like, when the Astros traded away Tucker, I'm like, God, that was so dumb. That was so dumb. That was so not an Astros move. I don't know what that move was about. Maybe Tucker just didn't want to be there for some reason, but still, he's in Chicago, and he is making his mark. Their starting pitching is great as well. Steele, he is having a phenomenal couple of starts, as well as Shota Imanaga. So the Chicago Cubs looking really good to start the season off. And then the last bit of baseball news that we have this week, breaking news overnight. Vlad Guerrero is going to sign a contract extension with the Toronto Blue Jays, a 14-year, $500 million contract extension. So I'm not shocked by that move at all. I pretty much expected it. It was either that or they were going to trade him. And quite frankly, I felt like that would have been the stupidest move, like the Astros did with Kyle Tucker. Because Vlad is a generational player. He is an excellent player, and he's definitely going to put some asses in the seats as well. I mean, who knows how the Toronto Blue Jays are going to pan out as the season wears on, but Vlad Guerrero is definitely going to be a dude everybody's going to want to keep their eyes on, and he's definitely going to be putting some asses in seats, at least for the next 14 years. So he is the next guy who ended up getting paid, and he did, with a $500 million contract extension. So there you go, Vlad. You are going to be staying with Toronto, and now we can scrap that storyline at all, that Vlad is going to be traded. I kind of think that's why he wanted to get that deal out of the way as well, because that would have been a distraction. The entire season leading up to the trade deadline would have been like, is Vlad going to be traded? Is Vlad going to be traded? Now, he's not going to be traded, so he is locked in for 14 years and $500 million. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Friday.